20th Century Fox. Presents a Conundrum Entertainment production. Starring Heather Graham and Chris Klein. A man standing on the roof of Shelby County Animal Control.
Looking at this picture, I know you might be thinking, sure looks like a lonely place to be way up there. If indeed you were, I'd have to disagree. Truth is, when you stop to ponder it, there's really no such thing as a lonely place, just lonely people. That's what I believe.
Say it isn't so.
You can be lonely any place. Up on a rooftop, at a big family shindig, in a football stadium with 60,000 other humans all around, or even in a small town, like Shelbyville, Indiana. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. In fact, loneliness is what ensures the propagation of our species. I think that's why most people get married. Because they're lonely, horny, or out of money. But mostly, because they're just damn lonely. Of course, that is one hell of a milquetoast reason to link up with one person for the rest of your existence.
Using a fluffy white cat as bait, he sets up a trap for a tomcat.
But people do it every day. They give in to their loneliness, and the next thing they know, they're trapped. Perhaps I'm being too picky. I talked to this counselor once. He told me that the fact I was raised in an orphanage has rendered me afraid of abandonment, and therefore fearful of commitment. Now you can tell by my tone, I don't think much of his opinion. I'm ready to commit, just as soon as I find that one woman I can't live without. That one woman that gives me goosebumps all over. I simply refuse to settle for anything less, like most people seem to do. Like my boss, Larry.
Be a sport, will you? I missed Ruthie's birthday dinner last night. She's making my life hell in a handbasket. I know she'll go easier on me if you're there. Come on now, Gilly. Do me this.
Bring her a puppy, Larry. She'll love that.
How is this?
It's a Russian Pomeranian, Larry.
Nah, I don't want to put any American dogs out of work. Come on now, Gilly. Be a friend. Come on over.
I don't know, Larry. Last time
Thanks, buddy. A little slice of family life and some home cooking will do your heart good. Bring some wine coolers. I'll make it a wing ding.
That night, around Larry's dinner table.
This is fine cuisine, Mrs. P.
It's takeout, Gilly. From Pizza Hut. Larry hates my cooking.
That's not true, Ruthie. You know
That's why he never comes home for dinner.
I'm never home for dinner because I'm out there busting my ass.
You were busting your ass. How come it's the size of a goddamn beanbag chair?
If you put out once in a while, maybe I wouldn't be seeking carnal pleasure in food.
All right. Call me old-fashioned, but I don't think a child should ever be made to picture her parents humping. I don't tell you about my sex life.
You're not having sex. Are you having sex?
Cher, tell Daddy you're kidding. She's kidding. She doesn't even have a boyfriend.
You don't need to have a boyfriend to be having sex. I'm just saying that a boy doesn't have to be a friend to be nibbling my package.
What the? Are you?
I think she's saying she's a whore, Pop.
Buddy! Pervert! I am not. I'm just popular. Like Gilly here. He doesn't have a girlfriend, but I'll bet he's having sex.
Well, occasionally, sure, but... Well, ultimately, I believe in waiting till one is married before...
How come you don't have a girlfriend anyhow? My dad says it's because you're confused about your sexuality.
No, I never said that.
I believe the term he used was phagnostic.
Right, phagnostic.
Larry!
That's it. Go to your room, you two.
Why? Why?
Well, she's just repeating what you said.
You're always taking her side. You let her do whatever she pleases, like getting her ears pierced. Now, look.
Try to stop her. I got my ears pierced because I like it, okay? And I got these pierced because I hate you!
Hey, that was you on the internet.
Cher's got bell piercings on her breasts. Larry and Gilly enter a diner.
Sick of being treated like dirty bathwater. I'm out there chasing poodles all day so she can drive around in a brand new Saturn. Fully loaded.
Usual.
I mean, this is the kind of thing that makes a man want to bludgeon his family and go on a three-day drunk.
It's pretty serious talk, Larry. Maybe you should be speaking to a professional about these things.
You mean a hitman? Man, that's the easiest way to get caught. Unless you did it.
I was talking about a shrink, Larry.
Get real, man. That's for crazy people.
A workman comes over.
Hey, maggots.
Hey, Stuart.
What the hell happened to your hair?
You like it? I just got a cut. By the most beautiful woman on the face of God's green earth.
Looks pretty weird.
Yeah, thanks. She called it a European cut. Says it draws attention away from my ears.
Would you use a fucking chisel?
Who the hell cares? I'm telling you, she's well worth the price of a hat. She's new. Over to the mega cuts.
I don't know if I can trust the opinion of a guy who scrapes roadkill off the highway for a living.
You can trust me with this one. Man, she got the face of an angel. Just gives you goosebumps all over, you know?
Later, Gilly's looking through the window of the mega cut salon. A young blonde woman in a low-cut pink top and short skirt is randomly combing and cutting a man's hair, giving him a tufty hairdo like Stuart. Oozing confidence, she turns and sashes up to a guy who's sitting waiting. Gilly stares at her long, wavy hair, blue eyes, and cute smile with wonder. He smiles at her, completely smitten. As scissors in hand, she turns and sashes back to her customer. Now the waiting area is packed with guys. One sprays breath freshener in his mouth, while others peek at her from over the top of the women's magazines they're reading. Gilly's at the head of the queue.
Like it?
Yeah.
Who's next?
Right here.
Come here.
Gilly takes a seat.
So how do you like it?
Just like it is, only not quite so long.
So you want it shorter then?
Yeah, shorter. I think shorter's the way to go.
She wets his wavy light brown hair with spray, then gets ready to cut.
So you cut a lot of hair?
I guess so. I mean, I've been working here a month or so, ever since I moved back.
Oh, so you're not from, where are you from?
Oh, I'm from here. Yeah, I was living in Oregon for a while, Beaver, Oregon. But then I moved back because I had to help out with my daddy. He had stroke number 2 and he's paralyzed now, so.
Oh, that's a shame. It truly is.
Well, it's his own damn fault. He's so tense all the time. It's like he's got fire ants running through his veins.
Oh!
Oh, I'm sorry.
She stabbed his cheek.
How's that, I'm sorry. What did you say your name was?
Actually, I didn't. It's Gilly.
Okay, Gilly. I'm Joe. Could you hold that there for me? How's that for length?
Beautiful. So I see you have a cat.
Well, I had a cat. He ran away 2 weeks ago, and I haven't heard from him since.
Oh, he'll be back. You know cats.
I've had him since he was a pup, and I don't know what I'd do without my little Ringo.
Ringo? Well, that must be a pretty popular name for a cat these days.
It is?
I worked down at the animal shelter, and I just took in a cat yesterday named Ringo. Too bad this Ringo's missing a tail.
That's my cat! Ah!
Hey, watch the corner!
Yeah, yeah.
She said put
him in the
ER4.
Having cut off Gilly's ear, Joe's now sitting in the hospital waiting room.
Gilly, are you okay? Were they able to sew it back on?
No, but they tell me I'm first in line for an ear donor.
You lying sack. Well, listen, what are you doing tonight?
Just healing, mostly.
Well, why don't you come over to my house and I'll cook you dinner and you can bring Ringo?
Now listen, Joe, I don't want you to feel like you owe me dinner just because I found your cat and you cut off my ear.
Well, I do owe you dinner. Now just say yes, or else I just might cut off your other ear.
Okay. 6:30?
Yeah, 6:30 is great. And don't worry, because I'm a much better cook than I am a hairstylist. I just don't know why you're doing this anyway. Do you look? Go get a dinner for this fella. You ought to be fixing dinner for Jack. You know, man who wants to marry you, not some dog catch who makes 18 grand a year and comes home smelling like cat piss every night. Promise me you'll be polite. Well, of course I'll be polite. Of course I'll be polite. Gosh. Jack called again today. I talked to him for a long time. He asked me, why did you leave him? Now, I wish you would tell him, because for the life of me, I can't make any sense out of it. Are you listening to me?
Hold on.
Oh. Would you just put the thing... You listen to me now. Good men are few and far between in this world. When you find yourself a keeper, the way I found your sweet pop out there, then you grab a hold of him and you treat him the way he wants to be treated.
Valdi.
What?
Valdi.
Jules' dad has a voice synthesizer collar.
Valdi.
And he's in a wheelchair.
What is it, Gimpy?
I want a beer, goddammit.
Now, look, you curb your language, or I'm going to take this Vocalator 3000 right back to Walmart. You hear me? Jeez.
Women in swimsuits are on the TV.
What in the name of... Oh, my God.
I was watching that.
Yeah, I bet you were. You've just had a stroke. Do you want to have another one? I want you to stay calm.
Give me a goddamn beer.
Gilly pulls up outside the house in his truck.
Gilly! Ringo! Oh, Ringo.
All the dogs at the animal shelter chipped in for a little going away present.
Well, thank them for me, and thank you.
Just doing my job.
How's your ear?
Oh, it's okay. I got all the pus drained out of it.
Close the goddamn door.
You have a robot?
Daddy, I'd like you to meet Gilly Noble.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Wingfield.
Gilly offers his hand.
He's a little shy around strangers. I'm gonna get Ringo some half and half.
Okay. So. Oh, golf, huh? Seems every time I play, I get Tourette syndrome. Well, you know, four, shit, damn, crap. Four, shit, damn, crap.
Hey, Dorf. Turn it to channel 7, dipshit.
Oh, you can say dipshit with that thing. That's neat.
Come on, have some more. You probably don't eat this well very often, not on your salary.
I'm gonna leave him alone.
Oh, that's okay, Joe.
Under the table, Joe rubs her foot on his crotch.
A fine room.
So, Willie, what do they pay you down there for gassing strays?
No, ma'am, I don't gas them.
Oh, what do you do, hit him with a bat?
Joe's dad dribbles.
No, I meant I'm not the one who actually puts them to sleep. I couldn't do that. And, well, as for the pay, it's not much, but it plays into my long-term career goal.
Which is?
I want to be a veterinarian.
You'd be a great vet, Dr. Noble.
Thanks, but it's not going to be easy. 4 more years at the junior college, and I'll have my 2-year degree. And then I'll transfer over to state, and with a BA in general studies, I should be able to get into any vet school in Mexico.
Sounds foolproof.
If Gilly says he's going to be a vet, then I believe he's going to be a vet. Excuse me a minute.
When Joe gets up and leaves the table, Gilly realizes the foot he's massaging isn't hers.
Care for a taste of my pie?
No, thanks. I'm full.
Suit yourself. I'm going to have a slice.
Valdine gets up and leaves the table. and Gilly realizes the foot isn't hers.
Easy on the corn, Dr. Doolittle.
Walter gives him a wink. At the diner.
The Lord. Our Lord has blessed me with the divine gifts of tracking, finding, and retrieving.
Come on, Vic, just tell me what you have so far.
I'll tell you what I got. Now, I'm about 90% on this, but I believe that your birth mother is still alive and living somewhere in the local area, and her name is Suki Yamaguchi.
That sounds a little, Japanese-y to me. This detective Vic Vedder is looking for my family, but so far, no luck.
What if he found out you were the son of the guy who invented shoe polish? You'd be rich.
Oh, I wouldn't care if he just shined shoes for a living, you know? Not having a family's left a big empty space inside of me. It's really important that I find him.
You will.
This is the first time I've ever been up here with anyone. You don't like it up here, do you?
No, it's fine. It's fine. Just being here reminds me of a bad time. I was 7 and we had to put our dog Humpy to sleep. I still haven't gotten over it. It's ridiculous, I know.
No, that's not ridiculous at all. Every Friday I see animals being put to sleep here. And I wish that I could take them all home with me, but I can't. And every time one of those animals dies, I feel like a part of me dies too. About a year ago, I wrote this poem that I recite to all the dogs before they go. It helps me, and I'd like to think it helps them too.
I'd love to hear it.
No, it's not very good.
I don't care.
Okay. Oh, noble creature, the time has come for the two of us to part, and for you to go to a better place, a place deep inside my heart, a place where you'll be free to run after a car or a bouncing ball. So go, noble creature, through that doggy door, and fetch a stick that's thrown by God, and wag thy tail forevermore. While a friendly voice repeats, good dog, good dog. So that's it. And after I read it, I usually fire off a one-gun salute with a pistol we keep here at the shelter. I know it sounds silly, but...
Jules in tears.
Doesn't sound.
She touches his cheek, then leans forward and kisses him on the lips. They draw apart and he smiles at her. Then they share a tender, deeper kiss. Now they're lying on the grass, being overwhelmed by puppies. As the excitable dogs scramble over them, vying for attention, Gilly rolls on top of Joe and kisses her. Back in the salon, Gilly sits in the chair wearing earmuffs for protection, while Joe, armed with scissors and comb, gives him a hug. In the truck, she playfully punches his arm as they talk and laugh with ease. In the park, Joe gives her dad a bag of bird feed, then joins Gilly on a bench. She hooks her legs over his and they kiss, unaware that Walter's become covered in birds.
Dirty vermin.
She gets up and shoos them away. Walter's face is now streaked with droppings. If left standing still, and you're so... On the animal shelter roof, Gilly sits on a picnic rug, contemplating an engagement ring, while Joe pitches a baseball into the back of a rubbish truck. She jumps up and down, then joins him.
Great day. This is a good
idea. Should we have a champagne?
No, let's wait till later.
You know, the day I cut your ear off, I never would have dreamed we'd be spending 6 months together.
Yeah, that is pretty funny.
I've had such a good time with you, just hanging out, having fun, no strings attached. Most guys are so possessive. You know, they talk about marriage before the first year is even up. There was this one schmuck. He actually went out and he got a plane and a banner. It was so lame. Talk about pressure.
He grabs her in a passionate clinch, so she doesn't see the plane flying overhead with a banner. I love you, Joe. Please marry me.
I'd love to, Gilly.
Love to what?
I'd love to marry you. That's my Uncle Joe's plane up there.
Joseph Wingfield is your uncle.
I'm named after him.
You know, Bobby should have occurred to me.
They share a hungry kiss. Their desire transfers to the bedroom, where they kiss each other lustily. Now Gilly's lying on his back, receiving pleasure from under the covers.
You don't quit, do you? Oh. Well, that's it. That's the spot. Oh, hey, don't go back there. We gotta save some for the honeymoon.
What are you saying, Gilly?
Ringo jumps out from under the sheet.
Nothing up. I was just messing around with Ringo.
Joe climbs back into bed.
Hey, Joe. Who's Jack?
What Jack?
You know.
A tattoo.
On your ass, Jack.
Well, he's my ex-boyfriend from Oregon. I've been meaning to get it removed. You're not jealous, are you? Because, you know, you're the one with the half-naked Suzanne Somers over his bed.
Oh, come on. Now, don't badmouth Suzanne. She got me through my awkward teenage years.
Do you mean you beat off to her?
Not to brag, but up to 5 times a day.
Wow. Do you want to try to break that record?
Hey, it's Gilly. Leave a message.
Hey, Noble. It's Vic. And I know it's early, but are you there, buddy?
Pick up. I got a package in the mail. Surprise, I found your mother. I touched all the bases on this one.
I'm 110% sure. Your mother's name is Valdine Wingfield.
You gotta understand. I had just had little Joe, and we were strapped for cash, and then I found out I was pregnant again with you. Old R2-D2 couldn't keep it in his pants back then, and now he can't even wipe his own ass. Oh. I just didn't know how I was going to feed everybody, and you were such a hungry child. I figured the best thing to do was to give you away, you know, to somebody who wouldn't resent you for your burden. I mean, one of you had to go, and Joe was already house broke.
This can't be happening.
I know how difficult this must be for you. But just think how lucky you are that you found out before it was too late, before you got married and consummated this forbidden relationship.
Joe runs into the bathroom to be sick.
Sweet Lord. You ponied your sister.
Oh, my God.
Sixteen months later, workmen are examining a dead animal on the road when Larry pulls up in his truck.
Hey, a maggot. What are you doing out here?
Nothing. What you got there?
Well, I'd say cougar. What do you think, Wingfield?
It's a coyote, Stuart. There are no cougars in Indiana.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about the car. Looks like cougar tread. I used to work in a tire store, you know.
Yeah? Well, I used to work at the animal shelter.
Hey, Gilly, you know I had no choice.
You know what it feels like when the newspapers call you the boss of a sister fucker? Whole damn town thinks I'm running a sister fuckeria.
You could have stuck by me, Larry. It's gonna blow over.
Oh, come on, Gilly. Who are you shitting?
Man, not that I blame you. I mean, I had a sister that looked like that.
Whoa.
Wham, bam. Thank you, sis.
You're right about that. You know, I'd say sister or no, I'd still like to get a crack at her. Oh, well, that is if she ever comes back. She's still up in Oregon?
As far as I know.
All right, maggots, chop chop.
Dearest Gilly, I'm sorry I left without saying goodbye. I just couldn't face you after everything that's happened. The feelings that once seemed so right became in an instant so wrong. Though it pains me to say it, we must never see each other again. And though we must never forget the love we shared, we must, like noble creatures, move on to another plane.
He lets her letter blow away in the breeze. Now, Gilly parks his dirty truck, on which someone's written Sister Slammer, outside the Wingfield's house.
Valdine?
What? I'm busy.
Put lots of salt on that sandwich.
You want a lot of salt?
Yes.
She wipes a piece of bread across her armpits, then gives the sandwich to Walter with a fake smile.
Here you are, honey, nice and salty.
Thank you.
Gilly lets himself into the house.
Hi, Gilly. How was your day at work?
Oh, it was pretty slow. The snakes, mostly.
Oh, well, dinner's almost ready. I made that nice chicken thing you like.
Hey, Dad.
I thought you were going to get a haircut.
Now, Walter, hush. Gilly's been through a lot.
Including his own sister.
Get it.
Walter sniffs his armpits.
Hello. Oh, hi, honey. How are you? How's Jack? Good. Oh, he's fine. He's been through a lot, but he's hanging in there. I know you miss him. But guess what? He's regained the use of both of his arms now. Uh-huh. Both of them, you know, they move both every which way. All right. Okay, well, what is it? You're getting married. Oh, Jojo, that is so wonderful. Oh, it's Jojo. She and Jack are getting married. Oh, my God, isn't that wonderful? Sweetheart, I am really, really happy for you. I am. Okay, sure. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye. Yes! Yes, sweet Jesus! The Wingfields have arrived! A pitch! A pitch! Talk it to me! Oh, yeah! Come on!
Gilly collects the mail and morning paper from out front.
Pervert!
Gilly, how's your sister?
Joe knew you'd understand why she couldn't possibly invite you.
I know.
I think you should be happy for your sister.
Oh, hell. After what you put her through, it's a wonder she didn't quit the sausage and become a vegetarian.
Oh, good God. Gilly, listen. Things are really looking up for her. She's got herself a little beauty parlor up there, and she's got herself a guy who's crazy about her, and quite frankly, a guy who's a millionaire several times over.
Oh, quit babying the boy, Valdine. He banged his own sister, for Christ's sakes. Well, you want to give him a medal?
Listen to me. This could be a whole new start for us all. So I want you to keep your chin up.
You know what the Bible says about fucking your own sister? Don't!
Hush up, Droopy. He's my baby. My precious gift from God. I get it? I baked you some ginger snaps. They're cooling on the stove. What do you want?
Sorry to bother you, Mrs. Wingfield. My name is Leon Potofsky.
Oh, my God.
Did I come at a bad time?
No. Just, you look remarkably like my dear husband when he was a much younger man.
Well, that stands to reason, ma'am.
Look at this.
It's all there. Blood tests, hospital records, DNA. Oh, look, here's your signature, giving up your rights to me.
Oh, my Lord. Then it's true. You are my son.
I finally found you, Mama!
Well, if he's your son, then who the hell is this sack of shit?
I'll tell you who he is. He's a grifter. He's a shyster that's just been freeloading in this house for a solid year.
Oh, wait, Mom.
I knew it. Get out of my house, you goddamn hippie.
Hippie? Oh, hold on.
Walter, get that imposter out of here.
Dad, Lex.
Hey, buddy, you heard my mama. Now get the hell out.
Hey.
Hey, get your hands off my daddy, you bastard!
Oh. Walter, he's having another stroke.
Dad, what's the problem?
Call 911. My God.
You. Get the police! I want this drifter arrested!
Please.
Leon, get an ambulance.
A tractor pulls a plow across a field as Gilly drives by, having cut his long hair and shaved his mustache. He passes a sign that reads, "You're now leaving Indiana, the Hoosier state." Someone's written "Sister Fordicator" on the back of his truck. He checks a map on his steering wheel, then peers out of the window. Day turns to night as he stares blankly at the road ahead. Daytime again, and he's driving past lush arable land and rubbing his weary eyes. A road sign reads, "Welcome to Colorado," then another, "Welcome to Wyoming." Keeping his eye on the road, he carries on into the night, passing another sign that says, "Beaver, 153 kilometers." He's wearing the engagement ring on his little finger. Looking a bit drowsy, he takes his eye off the road to tune the radio, and at first doesn't see a man standing right in his path. The man lies in the road with his prosthetic limbs scattered everywhere. The Jimi Hendrix lookalike rolls over.
Hey, Mr. Magoo! You knocked my freaking legs off, Daddy! Were you even looking at the road?
I'm sorry. Oh my God, I've never hit anyone before, right?
Well, I'm glad to be your first. Hope I was gentle. Now be a friend and fetch my getaway sticks, Daddy.
You what? What are you?
My legs, Captain, my legs!
Oh shit.
Less feces, more fetching. Get over here and get it, boy.
In the truck.
Straighten this damn thing. Get on the hell.
Watch out.
Watch out. Boy, that is a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
He spits on his stump and polishes it.
Well, all fairness, you were in the middle of the road.
Well, how else was I supposed to flag you down? I was a desperate man. Another 20 minutes and them bloodthirsty mosquitoes would have sucked me dry.
How long have you been out here?
Oh, about 2 hours. My airplane ran out of gas. I had to land in a clearing.
You're a pilot.
You're goddamn right I'm a pilot. My card right there.
The Big Dig?
That's right. Dig McCaffrey. Make a lot of coin flying those gigs nobody else wants. Take sportsmen out to the bush, fly banners over supermarket openings, some crop dusting. Hell, I fly up your ass with the money's right. Hey, that's pretty good. You think I ought to put that on my car?
So where am I taking you?
As close to Beaver as you can get. And a man as sexy and fertile as me likes to stay close to the Beaver. That's a good one, huh?
Let's try where I'm headed.
Say, you look like you're dragging there, Chief. Why don't you let me drive?
Oh, no, that's fine.
I'm wired. Doesn't like getting bounced off a bumper to put a cat on full tilt. So, where's your launch pad, Kerouac?
What?
Where you from, baby? Where you from?
Oh. I'm from Indiana.
Remind me of a fella I knew down in El Paso during my import-export days.
Never been there.
So, who's the skirt?
How did you know that I was...
Big knows many things, baby. Plus, you got that look of a man with a diamond engagement ring on his pinky.
Oh, yeah. Well, about a year ago, she was the love of my life. And I found out she was my sister. And then, about 3 days ago... Dig!
Just a little case of the white line fever, that's all, baby. Dig just needs a little music. Rock and roll, baby. I'd like to see somebody fall asleep to this shit here. Ted Nugent! When in doubt, I whip it out. Got me rock and roll, baby. It's a free fall.
Hey, Dig!
Hey! Are you crazy? I'm wild like a microwave, baby!
An aerial view of a snow-covered mountainside gives way to a town nestling in the valley below. Billy and Dig drive along the main street where a handful of people are going about their business, then park outside the Hotel Chieftain.
Well, before we depart, I want you to know two things, El Paso. One, I am 1/8 Chippewa Indian. And when you save the life of a Chippewa, it must be paid back tenfold. I owe you big time.
That's not necessary, but thank
you,
Dig.
No. Heap big. Heap big, Daddy. Appreciate everything you've done for me. I do.
Well, what was the other thing?
Hmm?
You said you wanted me to know two things.
No, I don't think I said that. I was saying, yeah. When you find that sister of yours, you get out of this town ASAP. Spooky cats around here.
What kind of spooky cats?
The kind with money and power.
That sounds like the kind of guy Joe is with.
Ooh. Well, good luck flipping that coin, Daddy. I'll see you later, El Paso.
Oh, Dig, thanks for not suing me.
A pleasure being hit by a man of your caliber.
At the Beaver Police Station,
Beaver Police?
Yes. My name is Valdine Wingfield, and I'm calling from Shelbyville, Indiana. I'd like to report a sexual predator. His name is Gilbert Noble.
He assaulted his own sister. I'm afraid he's still very dangerous.
And is on his way to Beaver right this very minute.
His own sister, huh? You know, I didn't know Joe Wingfield had a brother. Isn't that sweet? You have a description of the pervert, ma'am?
Actually, I can do a lot better than that. I happen to have a mugshot of him taken just last year when he was arrested protesting for animal rights.
Well, sounds like a bad apple.
That's great, ma'am. Why don't you fax that over to us?
Listen, I'd rather this didn't get back to Joe. She and Jack have so much on their minds, what with a big wedding and everything. I'd appreciate you being discreet about this.
Absolutely, ma'am. The Beaver Police are known for their discretion.
Sex offender notices with Gilly's mugshot are put up all over town. Joe's at the Beaver Cut Salon, where a woman's lying on her front.
Are you comfortable, Mrs. Sardini?
Yeah.
How you doing? How's your family?
Oh, fine.
So would you like the standard bikini wax?
Oh, no. I'm going to Hawaii with my husband. Better landscape the whole yard.
Joe waxes a hairy strip from her bum.
Did you ever miss cutting hair, Joe?
Oh, no, not really. I mean, my heart wasn't into it like it is with bikini waxing. I guess you could say that some people are cutters and some people are yankers, and I was just born to yank. Gilly? Mama, how could you not have told me that he was heading this way?
I'm sorry, baby. I know I should have. I just kept praying he'd come to his senses and get over it. Poor crazy guy.
Crazy? What do you mean crazy?
Oh, Joe, I hate to tell you this. Your brother Gilly now has an imaginary friend, Leon. He's been going all over town and telling everybody he's not your brother, but this fellow Leon is.
Poor Gilly.
Don't you worry about him. Your mama has enough love and compassion for that wounded bird.
I guess what I should really be worrying about is how to break this to Jack.
You can't tell Jack. It would break the poor man's heart.
A car parks on a downtown street where a homeless man's lying sprawled across the pavement. The dark-haired, handsome driver gets out and goes over to him.
Rich. Hey, Rich, wake up.
Oh, hi, Jack.
I want you to go on over to the hotel. You tell Chaney I sent you, he's gonna put it on my account.
I don't want to take your money, Jack.
Let me tell you something, Rich. I got my business and most of my money from my father. It's the least I can do to give something back.
I'll be fine, Jack. I don't want to put you out of anything. I just need another 10 minutes.
No, come on. You do as I say.
All right?
Go clean yourself up. Come see me in the morning, and we'll talk about getting you a job.
Thanks, Jack.
Hey, give me that. Keep marching. I'll have my brother Jimmy come back and check on you later, all right?
Hey, Jack.
Hey, how you doing, Gina?
I'm great. Look, I was wondering if maybe, you know, me and you could go to the diner, grab some coffee, you know, like old times.
Oh, Gina, I'd love to.
Yeah?
But as you know, I'm engaged to be married this week, and I just hate to do anything that might embarrass my bride-to-be.
Yeah, well, actually, your bride-to-be was gonna be the topic of conversation.
Oh?
In an opulent house, three men are looking at a car poster.
I had this picture on my cell wall. It was my hope for the future. See, everybody else had pictures of their wives and their girlfriends, but this was my reason for getting out.
You had a picture of a car on your wall?
Damn, Jimmy. Did you beat off to it?
Hell no. I spanked it to that baby right there.
This is the only car in the world that makes me flex my love muscles.
Oh. Jimmy loves you.
Jimmy, get off the car.
Hey, I was just giving it a full body dust.
Just try not to spooge on it.
Spooge on it?
Shut up. Listen, Jimmy, I got a security problem I want you to deal with. His name's Gilbert. It's Joe's brother.
Oh, I didn't know Joe had a brother.
Yeah, well, some families have brothers they don't like to talk about. Just make sure he disappears, all right?
Done and done.
Jimmy, feel free to rough him up a little bit.
At a motel, Gilly, in a smart white suit, passes a clock with stuffed beavers on it on his way up to reception.
A friend of mine has a salon here in town. Her name is Jo Wingfield. I don't suppose you...
She works at Beaver Cuts. You just take a left on Main. You go down about three blocks on the right. And in fact, I just went by there on my lunch break and I saw Jo in the window.
Oh, great. Great. Okay, thanks a bunch.
Sure. Yeah. Say hi to Jo for me.
Oh, I will for sure.
One of Jimmy's friends is outside.
Hey, buddy. You know where a fella gets a beer around here?
Oh, actually, I'm sorry. I'm not from around here. I was...
Damn right you ain't from around here.
Jimmy and his friends drug Gilly, rough him up a bit, then toss him into a car.
Come on, friend, let's go!
At the opulent house, Jo's sitting reading a magazine when Jack wanders over to her.
Hey, Jack.
Something you want to tell me, Jo?
Something bothering you?
I know about you and your brother.
Oh, God.
Damn it!
I'm sorry.
Sorry? I'm the one who should be sorry, Joe. Oh, you poor thing. It's not your fault. You had no way of knowing he was your brother. It's like a Greek tragedy. I think about it, it breaks my heart. God, how devastating it must have been for you. For both of you. God, the poor guy. I'm sorry, Joe.
Oh, Jack.
Gilly's on a plane.
Senor, mister. Can I have your peanuts? Por favor. Los cacahuates. Andale. Gracias.
Please pull your seats and tray tables to the upright position in preparation for our arrival in Puerto Vallarta.
Mm-hmm. days later. At the Eager Beaver Motel.
I don't get it. Why can't I stay at Jack's house with you?
You don't get it? What, did your adoptive mother drop you on your head? No one can see you till after the wedding. Until then, your job is to find Gilly Noble and keep him out of the way.
My hard worker.
Honey, what are you doing home?
I just, you know, I closed the shop early so I could get some of the wedding chores done.
Oh, great. Take that cute little dress off and come on in.
No, I gotta get some things done.
Tell you what, do me a favor. While you're out there, why don't you pick your mom up something nice for her arrival?
That's sweet, Jack.
Now scoot, or I'll pull you in here with me.
As Joe heads off, Gina comes up for air in the jacuzzi.
Take your time, why don't you?
Whoa, come here.
Jack pushes her head down again.
Jack, my future son-in-law. Oh.
Look at you.
Oh, my, it's been a long time. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so excited about the wedding. You know, I thought that maybe we could use the same vows that Walter.
Sorry. Why didn't you go? I'm gonna get you. I'm gonna get both of you.
Sorry, Walter! Oh, man, that must have hurt. You all right?
I'm gonna kick your ass.
What's that, Walter? You say you wanna lick my ass? Everything's cool, Jack. We got it under control. Yeah, come on, get that neck brace on. We're moving. Nice tea back there, Walter. Bring him to the guest room, Jimmy. Come on, right up the stairs.
A South American beer delivery truck pulls up in Beaver, and Gilly jumps out in a poncho. The driver says, "Now go find your sister and give her one for me." Gilly says, "She's not my sister." Keeping the brim of his straw hat down low, Gilly looks across the street to the Beaver Cut salon. He doesn't see his sex offender notice on the other side of a lamppost. He goes to the salon's back door and meets one of the hairdressers on his way out.
Hi.
What's up, Buckaroo?
I have an appointment with Joe Wingfield.
Joe's not here.
Okay, do you think that you could give her a note for me?
I guess so.
Good.
He gets the back of a notice to write on.
Can I borrow a pen? Thanks.
Welcome.
Hey. You are the sick man! Prevort!
No.
Prevort!
Wait a minute.
I'm going to dial 911! 911!
No.
I'm calling!
Don't.
Seeing the hairdresser is talking on the phone, Gilly hides behind a large bin, where he spots a takeaway food carton with waxed pubic hair strips in it. He runs off with it.
All units, subject last seen behind Beaver Cuts. Please be advised.
A stranger enters the Hotel Chieftain bar. Still wearing the poncho, Gilly's disguised himself by using the pubic hair as a fake beard. He sees Dig at the bar.
Hey, Dig.
What, stand down, Frito Bandito. Can't you see I'm playing Keno? 4-4-4-4.
Dig, it's me, Gilly.
I don't know, goddamn Gilly.
Hey, El Paso.
Oh, El Paso. Sit on down. You look like you're all grown up, boy.
It's a disguise, Dig. Apparently, there are a bunch of people in this town that don't like me. I need your help. I gotta find my truck so that I can...
Truck. Yeah, trouble.
What's the problem?
Well... You see Jack Mitchelson, right? He had a charity event last night. $1 a pop take a whack at your truck with a sledgehammer. It's a good time.
People paid money to beat the hell out of my truck?
Setting me back $10. I think I threw out my shoulder, you know, with the quarter panels. Whacked it one, and it whacked it again, then it broke, see?
Ah, that son of a bitch! I cannot believe Joe was gonna marry that Mitchelson creep.
Mitchelson? She's marrying Jack Mitchelson?
Yes, in 2 days, Dig. I gotta find a way to stop it, Dig, and I need your help.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Burn! Slow down, Speedy Gonzalez.
You can count Dig out of any plans to jack up the jig for Jack. Jack Mitchelson's a good man, am I right? Good friend of mine.
Yeah, he's the best.
Folks like him around here. Look, I want you to just leave well enough alone, okay? I mean, let her marry Jack. Being with him is like winning the husband's Super Lotto. Listen, if you really love this girl as much as you say you do, just tell her goodbye and good luck.
But I don't know if I can live without her.
Hello?
Joe!
Hey, Zaf! How's it going?
It was the Primo Joe!
What?
He was here at the shop!
When?
He was dressed like cowboy!
Oh my god.
Valdine's picking flowers in Jack's garden.
Ugh, damn bees! Ugh!
Morning, Mama! Morning, Daddy!
Morning, Joe! Morning. Where are you headed off to?
Oh, I just got something I have to do.
Well, wait. I'll go with you. Wait.
No, it's just something I have to do on my own.
Well, I could go with you, keep you company.
It's just errands. It'd be boring.
Not to me, sweetheart.
See you later.
Walter! Oh, my God! Stay absolutely still. I gotta go get my camera. Oh, God, this is too great for words.
She runs off, leaving Walter covered in bees. An unhappy Joe's driving along a road when she pulls up beside Gilly, who's trudging along, half-heartedly holding out his thumb for a ride. He climbs in.
Thanks for picking me up. I've been walking forever. Joe!
Gilly, I've been looking all over for you. Mama told me how you've been going around telling everyone about your imaginary friend, Leon.
That's what she said?
You gotta accept the truth. We can't be together, ever.
I'm glad that you said that, because...
He hesitates.
If you really love this girl as much as you say you do, just tell her goodbye and good luck.
You're right.
Well, then what are you doing here in Beaver?
I just wanted to... I just wanted to say goodbye. And good luck.
A little later, Joe pulls up at a bus stop in town.
I want you to have a good life, Joe. I really do. And I promise, after today, I'll never bother you again.
Don't make it sound so sad, Gilly. We'll still see each other at family funerals and stuff.
Bye, Joe.
She looks away sadly, then he gets out of the car.
I love you too.
As he stands at the roadside, wistfully watching her drive away, her face crumples and she lets the tears flow. A little later, Gilly's standing in a queue waiting to board a long-distance bus. A young kid's been watching him from the bus stop. He gets up, casually walks over, then snatches the bus ticket right out of Gilly's hand. Hey! Gilly chases after him. The kid bolts down a back alley, then carries on through a waste ground full of old cars. Gilly suddenly stopped in his tracks by Dig grabbing hold of him and flinging him against a van.
Dig, what the?
Settle down, El Paso!
A cigarette carton.
Here you go, Benji. Now remember, you promised not to smoke those till you're 12. All right. Right on.
You want to tell me what's going on?
He's an evil dude. He is one evil dude.
Who is?
Mitchelson!
Jack?
He's the snottiest cat this town has ever seen, baby.
I thought you said he
was... Oh, that was just show business, man. You gotta toe the line for John Q. Public. This town's got elephant ears, baby. Damn crying shame. You can't trust anybody anymore. Come on, El Paso. Slide over to my place.
In Dick's Riverside Shack.
El Paso, you got your work cut out for you, baby. Jack Mitchelson got millions from his daddy. He's what we call a multimillionaire. And in my experience, women like dead presidents more than broke boyfriends. No romance without finance, daddy.
Hey, Joe's not like that.
Shit. Love may be blind, but it can still smell that money, baby. Oh. Not to mention, that's a lot of cash in selling grass.
What does that mean?
Hey, Sherlock. Jack Mitchelson is the biggest marijuana grower in the Pacific Northwest. You are not seeing the forest for the weed here, man. This dude's a pot grower, a reefer salesman, a doobie doctor. That's why Jack keeps beavers so squeaky clean. Wanna keep Johnny Law from sniffing around.
Well, how does he get away with that?
Hell, half the town's on the payroll. The rest, scared to death of that wombat.
Man. Well, we've gotta figure out a way to get Joe out of there.
Amen to that. What we need, my friend, is a plan. Let me sit on down here and study on that for a minute.
Aw, that's a nice doggy.
Hell of a watchdog. Nothing gets by.
Jimmy and his crew barge in.
Hello, ladies.
You want to dance?
Jimmy drives over a bridge with Gilly watching his two redneck friends in the back. They stop on a track and drag Gilly out.
Come on, buddy.
Wait a minute. Be careful there.
Look, come if on. You're trying to scare me, you've done a terrific job, okay?
Yeah.
Fellas, this is uncalled for. Oh, come on. Look, this is unfair. All I want is 10 minutes with Joe.
Hey, who doesn't?
Come on, Jimmy. Let's get down to business.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy finds one of his friends over the head with a lead pipe, and Gilly flees.
That's what you get, you dirty little pervert. Hit your eye on the head. How come you hit straight?
What?
Maybe you ought to be wearing your glasses.
Yeah, but they make me look stupid.
Hey, pervert on the run! Go get it, pretty!
Now wearing his glasses, Jimmy runs off after Freddy. They chase Gilly to a ledge dropping down to the river.
Keep away from me!
You can't stop me from seeing Joe! I'm gonna marry her, you'll see!
You're too sick, man!
He wants to marry his sister. He better not come back! Yeah, that's right, or we'll tie you to a tree, fuck you in the ass while we jerk you off! Show you what we really do to perverts around here! You sick out!
Keep running, boy!
Dick's legs are outside his shack. Gilly picks them up.
Hey, Dig! Hey, Dig!
El Paso, up here!
Dig, what are you doing up there?
What do you mean, what am I doing up here? You ever try jumping off a roof with no legs? It stings!
What do you want to do about this?
Don't worry. I got a leg for all seasons.
Joe, I'm not your brother. Marry me. Oh, Dig, this is great. Thank you so much. Finally, I'm gonna be able to set the record straight here.
You sure there are 2 R's in Mary?
Oh, yeah, there's definitely 2 R's.
Good enough.
Hey, listen, Dig, you sure you're gonna be able to fly with that thing?
I'm Dig McCaffrey, boy. I can fly a can of Spam like this.
How'd you lose those legs anyway?
Plane crash. Come on, let's light this firecracker.
Wearing to replace his broken foot, Dick starts up his seaplane with the Will You Marry Me banner attached.
Well, we're all set. You ready?
All right.
As the plane sets off across the water, the banner snags on a piece of wood and some of the letters come off.
Let's go, Dick.
Dick pulls back on the controls and the plane takes off with the banner string trailing behind it. Jack's serving drinks at the bar on the beach in his grounds.
So they can hug all the trees they want. That's the government we're going to have to worry about. Especially when we're not going to be able to wipe our ass without a permit.
Barkeep, less talk and more vodka.
Yes, ma'am. Gina, get you a drink while I'm at it?
Yeah, I'll have a nice stiff one.
Walter notices Joe standing apart from the others.
You are in such good shape. How do you stay so fit?
El Paso, I got something here that's gonna get their attention.
Dick flicks a red switch on the dashboard, and music's pumped out of a speaker on the plane's underside.
That's my man, Wagner. That's good. We'll come in low out of the afternoon sun.
The banner rises with the plane as they cruise towards the beach party.
Pure hunks of protein.
Is that right?
Walter looks up and spots the plane.
Check it out, El Paso!
Hey, Joe! Check out my banner!
The banner reads, Joe, I'm your brother, marry me.
I knew that boy was trouble the minute I laid eyes on him.
Bill.
Yeah, Chief?
We've got a code 9 in progress. Mobilize all units.
The plane touches down.
Feeling pretty good, huh, Gil?
Oh, yeah, Dick.
As they stop on the airstrip, they're suddenly surrounded by police cars.
What's going on, Dick?
What's going on? Start eating.
He gobbles down a huge bag of weed.
Gilbert Noble, please step out of the airplane with your hands behind your head.
Well, ship my ass to Big Red China. They want the white boy.
What's the wrong with me? I didn't do anything.
I don't know. See you, stranger.
All right, get your hands up! What's going on here?
Okay, boys, grab him!
Hey, take it easy! Oh, what's going on? Oh, this isn't fair!
Neither is talking to your sister, son. All right, Bill. Straight to the nut house. Jack Mitchelson is offering to pay for his therapy.
A group session.
Good morning, gentlemen. Today we're discussing why it is wrong to have sex with someone related to you.
My wife was related to me. I had sex with her.
That's not the same thing, Mr. Murphy.
Once a week we'd have sex, until she died. Then it was 3 or 4 times a week.
We are quite familiar with your case, Mr. Murphy.
Can we have pancakes tomorrow?
We had pancakes yesterday, Mr. Campisi. Today, I would like to talk about how Mr. Noble can overcome his unnatural compulsions toward his sister.
He could kill her.
Mr. Chen.
Can we have pancakes tomorrow?
At Jack's house, Joe's sitting gazing at a photo of her and Gilly in happier times. She looks at it sadly and strokes his face with her finger, then shakes her head in disbelief. At the mental care facility, the canteen's full of patients in their pajamas. Sitting down with his lunch, Gilly's joined by Jimmy's friend Streak, whose head is now bandaged.
Hey, I know you from before. You hit me with a lead pipe.
I didn't hit you.
You calling Jimmy a liar?
Yeah. I don't want any trouble now, okay?
Hey, you got any naked pictures of your sister?
Of course not.
Wanna buy some?
$10 a piece.
Where'd you get these?
Jimmy brought them to me. You know, keep me company. Not bad, huh?
In one photo, Jimmy poses next to Joe as she sleeps.
He also brought me these. Joe's panties. Used, too.
Oh, you know.
Hey, $10 a piece.
No way. These don't belong to you. That's my future wife we're talking about here.
You owe me a lot of money for them nakeds.
All right, look, here's $10. That's all I have. Now leave me alone.
Street freeze. In a white padded cell, Gilly sits on the floor wearing a straitjacket and a Hannibal Lecter-style plastic mask over his nose and mouth. He remembers the good times with Joe, their first date, the first time they made love, and the first time he laid eyes on her in the salon. The pair of them kissing on a park bench, then Joe smelling a posy of flowers.
Gilly! Oh, is that you? Don't worry, buddy, the cavalry's here.
Dick climbs into the cell through the ventilation shaft.
Come on, it's time for you to make your break.
There we go.
Oh, Dick, what are you doing here?
I told you, Cherokee always repays his debt.
I thought you were 1/8 Chippewa.
Right, and 1/8 Cherokee. Dig's a complex cat, baby.
Hey, are you the pancake guy?
What's he doing here?
Went to the wrong room first. Come on, let's get you out of here.
But after I ate all that weed, it took me 2 days just to pass the stems!
Leon overtakes their quad bike and gives them a wave.
Leon! Holy shit, Dick! Follow that car! There he is! Pull over! Pull over!
Ah, yes. Eagle Beaver. You don't need to shoot porno pictures there? Did a screen test once. Never heard anything.
That is Leon. That's him, Dig. That's Joe's real brother. Well, he's my proof.
Mm-hmm.
Now all I gotta do is get her down here and show her.
Well, hell, bells. You better scoop. According to the paper, that wedding's going off in less than 3 hours. Here, take my pony.
Oh, no, Dig, I couldn't do that. That's...
Take it. Possessions mean nothing to the Navajo. You go down there and you get your woman. I'll make sure Hoofball stays where he's supposed to be, and you get your ass off there, Campese. Quickly, today, son!
Okay, Dick, thanks a lot. I'll be back as soon as I can.
Good journey.
Gilly rides off.
All right, Campese. We got an assignment.
A cattle herd is blocking the road.
What the hell's this?
Gilly climbs off the quad, then waves his arms to shoo them away.
All right. Come on, move along. Move them out, little doggies, let's go. Hep-ha! Come on, get out of the way.
A cow knocks him over.
All right, now that's it. I'm tired of being nice. Now get off the road! Get your smelly ass off the road! I said get your...
He punches the cow's bum and gets stuck up to his arm.
Come on. Oh, okay, come on, just relax. Hold on.
He He gets dragged along. At the Eager Beaver Motel.
Just where you think you're going, Leon?
Who the hell are you?
I'm your warden till my friend Gilly gets back.
Gilly?
That's right, I said it. Billy, don't you. I'm warning you.
Leon pushes Dig over and his leg comes off. Gilly puts on a brave smile.
Hey, you're turning the herd on!
What happened? Did your sister turn you down?
What? No!
This cop's got the weapons there!
Come on! Giddy up! Giddy up!
Hey, pervert! Why don't you buy your dinner first?
Hey, that's pretty funny. Why don't you get on with your life?
Hey, it's a puppet show! Grab her, kid!
Gilly, what are you doing?
It's Joe.
Nothing. What are you doing? I thought you were supposed to be getting married.
I am in an hour. Zaf was just doing my makeup. You're supposed to be at the hospital, getting better.
Joe, listen. I got great news. I found Leon. I found Leon and I got him dead to rights.
That's great, Gilly. Now, why don't you just pull your arm out of Leon's butt and we'll take a drive to the hospital.
Oh, no, Joe, this isn't Leon. This is just some cow that I... My hands... stuck in. Joe, Leon's at the Eager Beaver. If you come with me, I will prove it to you.
Gilly, stop it, please. You can't do this anymore. You have issues.
But, Joe...
Gilly, do you remember when you took me up to the roof of the animal shelter the first time and you told me how important it was for you to have a family?
Of course.
Well, it's important to me, too, and that's why Jack and I have decided to have a family of our own.
Yeah, but, Joe, listen...
Gilly, leave me to have my family. Are those my missing underwear?
Now, Joe, I can explain these. I didn't steal them. I bought them off the same scumbag that sold me these naked pictures of you. Oh, Joe!
In my country, for violating a sacred beast, you get beaten to death with bamboo sticks.
It can happen to you here too.
You are so sick mentally. Pervert!
Oh my God. The ring.
He plunges his hand back up the cow. Mr. Campisi enters the Eager Beaver's laundry room, where Dig's spinning around in a tumble dryer. His afro's gone wild. Campisi opens the door.
Man, that was one evil trip. Woo!
At the wedding, Jack's waiting at the altar, while Joe and her dad are at the other end of the aisle.
Well, this is it, Daddy. The day every girl dreams about. You guys are really gonna like living up here. You'll have the best medical care and... Mama won't have to work so hard.
Is this what you want?
What do you mean?
He loosens his collar.
I mean, are you happy?
Why wouldn't I be happy? I mean, this is a great thing for all of us.
Showtime, Mr. Winfield.
Joe and Walter set off down the aisle, with an usher pushing his wheelchair. A despondent Gilly's trying to hitch a ride when his old battered truck approaches from behind. At the wheel, Streak pulls out a gun.
Hey, pervert.
Hey, Streak. What are you doing?
Ain't a metal home's been built that'll hold Streak.
Hey, wait a minute, that's my truck.
Get your hands off! What's your truck? Mine now.
Oh, it looks really nice.
She's my home now. So technically, you're standing on my front lawn. It's So why don't you back your ass up off my property and into them woods?
Okay, Streak. Just take it easy.
You shouldn't have cheated me on those panties. Now give me back my stuff!
Okay, just relax. Everything's all right. The pictures and the underwear and everything. See?
Oh, I'll take that too.
Wait a minute, that's my ring!
Well, it's my ring now, pretty boy! Why don't you turn around? We're gonna take a little nature walk.
Wait, Streak, come on now. I gave you everything you wanted.
Streak pistol whips him, then Gilly tumbles down a bank.
And do you, Josephine Wingfield, take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband?
I do.
And do you, Jack Mitchelson, take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife?
I do.
If anyone amongst you can show just cause why these two should not be joined in holy matrimony, speak now or forever hold your peace. So, with the power vested in me, I now
Sorry, it's the machine. It malfunctions when the battery's low. Great hit.
She's in love with...
Here we go. Problem solved. There, just go on. I now pronounce you blah, blah, blah.
Very well. I now pronounce you man and wife. You may kiss the bride.
Jack lifts up Joe's veil, but when he goes to kiss her, she pulls back a little. Walter sags. Leon's driving along when he spots Gilly's truck up ahead.
Well, what do we got here? Gilly Noble.
Streak admires the ring.
Look at you, taste of beauty.
You ain't gonna mess up my sister's wedding, you pervert!
Leon speeds up and smashes into the truck, crunching the back and making fuel pour out.
Here's my wedding present, Mama!
When he rams it again, the truck explodes in a ball of flames. At the wedding, the guests are sitting in a marquee with a string quartet playing outside. Valdine returns to the top table, where Joe and Jack are sipping champagne.
Mom's daddy all right?
Oh, yes. It's just all the excitement. He said he'd love to be able to join you. He's just not up to it.
In the house, Walter's wheelchair's been chained to a seat, and he's pathetically trying to break the padlock.
I'd like to propose a toast. A toast to my baby girl, to little Joe, who has finally found the man of her dreams, a man that is not only...
Cops.
Jimmy Scarpers. Walter rips off his collar, then heaves his legs off the footrest. Then he stands up.
What's going on?
Sorry to bother you, Jack. Mrs. Mitchelson, I'm afraid we have some bad news. Your brother, Gilly, there's been an accident. His truck blew up.
Body was burned beyond recognition, ma'am. By the time we got to the scene, some coyotes had come by and torn off some of the major body parts. They even ate his...
Gina! I think that's enough description of the deceased for right now.
Yeah. Okie dokie.
Are you sure? Are you sure that it was Gilly? Yeah.
We found this ring on his finger bone with your names inscribed on it. I scooped up what I could. Ashes, mostly. Put them in my thermos. Thought you might like to keep him for remembrance.
He killed himself. I know it. It's all my fault.
No, that is not true, ma'am. Your brother is in that thermos right now on account of a fella I have in custody right here. All right, boys, bring him out.
Leon? Did you say Leon?
Mama, I just found him. It was an accident. I didn't mean to bump his car, and then it exploded.
He's your brother, Joel.
Walter.
Your real brother.
Daddy?
We hid the truth from you because Valdine wanted a crack at Jack's money. And Lord help me, so did I.
Are you saying that Gilly was never my brother?
Well,
how could you do that to me?
Well, we did it for your own good, sweetheart. He was a dog catcher.
You're crazy! Oh, you're just crazy, okay? I'm sorry, Jack.
No.
I'm just very confused right now.
No, don't apologize to him. Well, he set the whole thing up.
That's a lie.
Ask him if the name Vic Vedder rings a bell.
Shut up, Walter.
Because Jack mailed Vic false information about Gilly.
You tell her, Valdi. You tell her the truth. Walter, what the hell are you talking about? Huh?
You're sick. You're fucking sick.
There, oh dear, let me see.
I hope you all make one big happy family. Just don't include me.
Walter, you goddamn idiot. Look at you.
She deserves a better life.
How dare you ruin my wedding?
Blow me.
You did this. I'm gonna kill you. You rotten.
Valdine's face contorts, then she falls off Leon.
Ma'am!
Mama!
Gina! Better call an ambulance, boys, now!
We got a 911 over the Mitchelson estate. We're gonna need an ambulance ASAP. It looks like a possible coronary or some sort of jiggling.
Oh, my goodness.
Wispy clouds speed over a rugged rock face as the sun rises and dapples the weathered surface with light and shade. Gilly comes to, lying face down where he fell. He struggles to sit up on the dusty bank, then rubs his head. Looking a little dazed, Gilly emerges from the woods and looks across the water towards Dig's shack.
Holy shit! The ghost of El Paso passed.
Hi, Dig.
Hi, Dig. Shit, I thought you was barbecue.
So everybody thinks I'm dead.
Hell, I thought you were dead myself. Can't piece it to.
I guess it's probably all for the better. Now Joe can really get on with her life here. Although I have no idea how I'm going to get home.
Dig McCaffrey at your service.
He hands Gilly his card.
I'll flap your ass if the money's right. I cannot believe you put this on.
Yeah, that's good, huh? That's good.
Are you serious, Dave?
Well, that's the least I can do after wailing on your truck with a sledgehammer. Oh, shit. Come on, El Paso. The bird's out front and all gassed up. Now, what you gonna do?
Let's light that firecracker.
You bet your ass.
The seaplane takes off. Now flying over the woodland and fields around Beaver. Joe's wedding dress is on the back seat as she drives through the countryside. With tears in her eyes, she looks at the flask of ashes on the passenger seat and then a handgun that's lying next to it. Turning her attention back to the road, she passes a sign that says, "Welcome to Indiana." Soon after, she comes to stand at the edge of the roof of the animal shelter.
Oh, noble creature. The time has come for the two of us to part. And for you to go to a better place. A place deep inside my heart.
Gilly and Larry pull up.
Gilly, deep down, I always did believe you.
I know that, Larry, and I do appreciate it.
Now, if you don't mind, I'm gonna sneak in through the back door.
Joe? Hey, is that Joe? Oh, my God. Joe! Joe!
As she stands pointing the gun near her head, he scrambles up the fire escape.
You catch the stick that's thrown by God.
Gilly suddenly covered in ashes. Joe's emptied the flask and is about to walk away when she catches sight of him.
Gilly?
Joe!
Oh my God!
When he scoops her into his arms, then twirls her around for a long, passionate kiss.
Joe, I thought you killed yourself.
I was just giving you the one-gun salute. I can't believe you're alive.
They kiss again. Time has passed, and Gilly and Joe emerge from a church to a shower of confetti. As the newlyweds are congratulated, Valdine, who's now wearing a collar, looks on bitterly from her wheelchair. Walter is fully recovered.
Now, Valdine, don't be so sad. You're not losing a daughter here, you're gaining a son.
Blow it out of your ass, Walter.
Hey,
Gilly. Hey, Joe. First of all, congratulations on your nuptials. I want to wish you much happiness.
Oh, thanks, Vic, but we got guests.
Oh, look, now, I know you got guests, but I got some good news. I found your mother. Mother this time. Free of charge. I got signatures, I got documents, DNA evidence.
I don't know, Vic.
Listen to me, Gilly. She flew all the way from California to meet you.
A woman with film star Luke steps out of a car.
My baby. My precious gift from God.
Suzanne Summers is my mother?
Joe makes a hand job gesture, and Gilly's face freezes.